and welcome to the Novel Traveller podcast. My name is Michelle Walsh-Jackson, and I'm the Novel Traveller. Well, I've a cracking podcast for you this week, and I catch up with the popular host of The Breakfast Show on Today FM, and all-round Mr. Nice Guy, Ian Dempsey. We've a great chat about his travels, and this time of year he'd normally be living it up on the ski slopes in the Austrian Tyrol, with a Today FM top flight ski trip. But like the rest of us, he's at home, but he took time out to recall some of his favourite travels. Someone else who's missing the piece is award-winning travel writer Catherine Murphy, who I will chat with later about the state of the slopes this season and what we can look forward to next year. But first, kick back and relax with whatever is your favourite tipple and enjoy Ian Dempsey.
Well, do you know what, Ian? I was hoping that we were going to have this chat down the yacht club with a nice pint or a nice glass of wine.
Lovely.
That's what I was thinking. Gosh, now, Ian, when you agreed to do it, I said, this is great. Because we're practically neighbours, aren't we? Like, we're within our 5K. We are definitely within our 5K. So I was we'll enjoy doing the podcast. But, you know, I'm very hopeful that things will improve. I hope so. And places like the Yacht Club get open in the summer. So Ian, I'm going to start with I have a quick fire round, which kind of gives listeners idea of your tastes and what you like and things you like doing. So you can answer as quickly, or if you want to go on a little bit, you know, you can do either or. So first thing, for takeaway food, Chinese or Indian?
I think I would probably end up opting for Chinese. Now, I do like a bit of Indian. We use India Link over in Port Marnock. Although recently now we weren't able to get them. I don't know whether they were closed down for the day or whatever. And there was this other place down up in Kilbarrack called the Curry Club, I think it's called. So we got them instead, and it was actually very good. So I hope India Link haven't lost out now.
That's a nice tip.
But we have the Golden Elephant down there at Sutton Cross, and
I love the Golden Elephant.
Very good. Oh my God! I remember back in the day when they were used to be the Pagoda, and they used to deliver, like, it was so posh. They used to deliver these big cardboard boxes. Looked like you were getting a new hat or something like that. It was amazing. They had bowls in it every time, and it was just like, I'd say financially, I'd say they were losing a fortune on it. But but they did it, and I mean, everybody. It was we had so many of those bowls in the house. It was unbelievable, you know. But I'd say I probably would opt for Chinese. Yeah,
And I'll tell any listeners that don't know, we're out here in North County Dublin, in Sutton Hoth. What about travel? Would you prefer boat or train?
I think I prefer train. I like train. I mean, I was going around the country with Mario Rosenstock on his gift grub tour, and I was kind of producing it with him. And so I had to go, and I didn't really enjoy the idea of driving down the motorways and all that. So I used to get the train, and I loved the idea of it because you could plug in your whatever, charge it up, do a little bit of work on the way down. It was so relaxing. It was really nice. It was great. So I like trains. I don't think I've been on too many trains outside of Ireland, although I was in one in Lisbon, which was very pleasant as well. I think train, it's a very relaxing way of traveling. I'm not mad about boats. I don't really have the old sea legs. I don't think I'd be I don't think I'd be the president of Hoth Yacht Club.
You might pop over to the island and sip a gin and tonic from over there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It'll short trip now. I could do that all right.
We're all good at that. Yeah. So, what about a vineyard or a distillery?
Vineyard, I think. Vineyard it's kind of a longer process. I mean, I think I've been to both, and I've enjoyed both. I was in the whiskey museum actually up beside Trinity College one night. The guy actually opened it up for myself and two of my friends. It had been closed, and he opened it up and brought us on a full tour of the thing, which was fascinating. But some of the vineyards are amazing, and it's such a relaxing afternoon. You go and you get all the information. He said, yeah, where, give us a drink, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things, but I enjoy those. I've been in I've been in a few around the world, actually. I was in when we went to a place called and actually there's a road called Evora in Hoth, I think.
There's
a place in Portugal called
Evora.
Evora.
Yeah.
And we went there, and there's lots of vineyards, and there's lots of Alentejo kind of vineyards around there. And we had a beautiful meal and some vino there. I like the Portuguese wine; it's good.
No, it really is. Theatre or cinema?
Theatre, I think. Theatre every time. I think you don't know what's going to happen. There is a certain spontaneity about it, and you just don't know if something is either going to go wrong, if it's going to be it's a different performance every night. It's not always the same thing. And, you know, it could end. Somebody's mobile phone could go off. Anything could happen. And there's usually an interval as well. So, I mean, that's always nice too.
Absolutely, I'd be with you there on that, Ian. Luxury or adventure?
Well, there you go. I wouldn't say I'm the most adventurous type now, to be honest with you. I like the idea. I mean, I like people. I like sitting down talking to people. So I suppose if you're doing that in a luxurious surrounding, that would be quite nice. I'd enjoy that.
But luxurious adventure.
Exactly. Yeah. But energy-wise, I wouldn't be the sort of person who would say, see that mountain over there, let's climb it, or, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think I'd be a safari sort of guy. So I think luxury might be my choice there.
But ebook or paperback?
My wife now, Jara, is a big Kindle user, and she reads them all the time. She's a very good reader. I read a lot, but I don't read books as such. So I would be more kind of on a phone, on a device of some description. But I like the idea, and I like the smell of a book, and I like the newness of a book sometimes. And I like the idea that you can also pass it on to somebody and say, this is really good. Michelle's a great writer. Here, have this.
I have to thank your dear wife. She has read, she's plowed her way through each of my books. She's very good. She's been wonderful. Play.
Well, hopefully, are you writing the next one now? Have you got something?
Oh, I've a new one out, actually, at the moment.
Very good.
And my books are stuck in Brexit land. So there will be one. There'll be one down to your door very soon for Jer. Dessert or starter?
I'm not supposed to eat sweet things because of a medical condition that hundreds of thousands of people have, like type 2 diabetes. But I do treat myself from time to time. I think starters, though. I mean, I'd be more into savory and peppers and few old sort of scallions here and there. So I think you'd be looking at savory. That would be, I like, if I was going for a meal and I wasn't that hungry, I'd say starter and main course. And then I'm done. Whereas if I was, you know, Christmas Day, obviously you're going to go all the way. But that would be my choice. Yeah,
of course. And then finally, would you stay in a caravan or a tent?
Oh God! Oh dear!
Or
where's all the luxury gone?
Do you know there are some fabulous glamping options now around Ireland?
Really?
Well,
I like the look of what do you call them, John and Francis Brennan's glamping down there in Kenmare. That looks pretty good now. You know, that's posh. A bit of posh glamping now. I wouldn't mind that.
Absolutely. You know,
I wouldn't like the idea of little creatures coming in to greet me in the morning or in the middle of the night or something like that. That's my problem, main problem with camping. So I might stick, I'd probably go with the caravan just for security. But I'm sure there are some great caravans knocking around as well. You know,
I don't know if this is PC, zig or zag.
Oh my God. Oh geez. Well, it's like having to choose your favorite
your
child.
Children. I mean, you can't do that.
I mean, they both have their strengths. I think Zig is a very thoughtful Zig. I remember when I met Zig, first of all, he was thinking of buying a mobile, one of these portable CD players. And some of your younger listeners mightn't even know what a CD is, but they used to be a CD player. And he spent, I think, for all the time we worked together, he was onto which magazine and he was checking out what was the best one to buy. And by the time I actually left Dempsey's Den, he still hadn't bought it because he really considers everything. Whereas Zag is more of a kind of a, he'd be an impulse buyer. He'd just go for it. He'd say, yeah, give me that one. And then then he'd say, this is crap, it doesn't work properly, you know. Well, yeah. Two different people, but both absolutely lovable creatures.
You've actually reminded me of something, Ian, that I thought only remembered before doing this. But you certainly don't remember this, but when I was 14, I rang up the Saturday morning show that you used to do with Ruth Buchanan, and I won my first record.
Really?
That first thing I ever won was on your show, and it was a copy of it was a record, a vinyl, Zenyatta Mandata by the Police.
Zenyatta Mandata.
So you actually put me on radio before anybody. You did it with my book, and you did it there. So it's fantastic that you're back here on the podcast.
Incredible.
Isn't it amazing?
Well, congratulations. I'm glad you got the prize.
I actually still have it.
Have you? That's amazing.
I have nothing to play it on, of course. I wasn't to play a CD on either, but I do still have that. I better get down to the questions. We better get talking about travel. But it was your first travel memory, you know, your first holiday that really stands out for you.
Well, I remember, like, when I was a child, my family, we used to go to places like Butlins and Mosny, you know, we used to spend the time there. We'd have the red coats and, you know, great fun. And I didn't know anything else. The first time I actually went out of Ireland on a holiday was with my wife, Ger. And it was in 1982 and we went to Spain. And it was the first time I was ever on a plane in my life. I'd never been on a plane. You know, the way everybody's just second nature to people now. But we went on a plane for the first time. I think I was so scared. I think I had to take some medication from our local pharmacist to calm me down a little bit. We went to Torremolinos on a total package holiday. Oh, brilliant. We went up the mountains one night for one of those, you know, those dinners they have where the guy comes around and he pours drinks.
Mihas or summer, wasn't it? That. Might have been Mihas.
Somewhere around there, exactly.
Yeah, the bull ring in the middle and the mountains.
That's right, And I mean, and go on the bus with everybody and have a little sing-song and all that kind of business. I remember I remember waking up the next morning, myself and Ger, and we had bought two of those wanted posters with our photographs in them. You remember those?
I had one of those as well. Oh, you'd have a Spanish dancer, you know.
That's right. And your picture on it, wanted, and your name is on it. And it must have probably cost us a fortune. Like, you know, I can't remember even. My God. It was a culture shock. But before all of that, I mean, we used to go down to Kerry. I remember we went to Warren Point in County Down. This was all the family. But I remember, like, in those days, my dad would say, we're going on holidays now on Saturday, and we'd all be up at about 7 o'clock in the morning. And like, you'd travel off and you'd get there by about 8 o'clock in the evening. And that was the start of it. And so you're traveling all day. And then after, when I got my own car, I looked up the distance between our house and Warren Point in County Down. And it was 72 miles, which you'd kind of do in an hour, probably. You know what I mean?
This
took all day, and we stopped for lunch and then we stopped for afternoon tea. And we, you know, so it was a big occasion and a big holiday. We made the most of it. But first time out of the country on a plane. I made up for it since, like, going, because I love traveling. I love getting around. Although I did have a real fear of flying, and it was cured by a local guy here. He was an Aer Lingus pilot. His name was Harry Gallagher. There was one of these dream auctions down in the dinghy club there in Sutton. And I bought it for something like 40 quid, which was a good few years ago. And it was a lot of money in a way. But what it was they brought you to a cockpit up in one of those simulators in Dublin Airport. And so effectively, Harry had me sitting as his co-pilot, and he got me to take off from Dublin, and it was totally real. And I headed over to Glasgow, and I landed in Glasgow Airport. And ever since then, I was completely cured. And actually, I think it was because I kind of knew what was going on in the cockpit. Sure. You know what I mean? So it was amazing. And I mean, ever since then, any time I go traveling, like, I actually like the experience of going up and coming down and, you know, flying.
And that's a sad thing about 9/11, because all that visit to the cockpit stopped. And it's something you remember, little kids used to go up, and it was a lovely treat, you know, and that sense of, you know, connecting with the pilot and that.
Yeah.
And that's very sad the way things change.
It is, yeah. And actually, Harry as well, I don't want to delay your podcast. I don't know how long it is. But Harry as well, he actually flew us on our honeymoon. We went on our honeymoon to France, and he flew us over there, and he brought me up to the cockpit. But there had been a problem just before we took off with the intercom system or something like that. And he, at that stage, it was fixed. And then he said, the hostess came down and said, Harry wants to know, do you want to come up for the takeoff? And I said, lovely, thanks very much. So I went up and I sat up there, and you're able to do that. And we took off, and it was fantastic. And then I went back down to my seat, and then we had lunch or whatever. And then just before we landed, they came back again and said, would you like to come up for the landing? And I said, okay, thanks very much. So I came down for the landing, and it was fantastic. But when I was getting off the plane, because there had been a technical problem with the intercom, a little old French lady came up to me and said, thank you very much for fixing that. She thought I was an engineer that I'd gone in and sorted out the problem.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, God, it's great.
I know, yeah, but you would miss things like that, wouldn't you? You know, you forget the way things are. Yeah,
it's a
pity.
And I mean, the other thing is, you know, this whole thing about, oh, you've got a bottle of water in your hand. Yeah, you've got to put that down. It's kind of a bit excessive, I think. And,
You
know, you
kind of
say to yourself, like, you know, if somebody wants to do something, they'd bring a powdered version of whatever. They'd buy a bottle of water on the plane, throw it in, and, you know.
It makes absolutely zero sense.
Yeah,
and you know what I like? I was going through the airport security in the Seychelles, and what they have a great regard for water. They have great respect for water. And what I love what they do is they make you take a sip of it. And if you drink the water, they all say, oh, no, water is precious. And once you take a sip of it, okay, bring it on board, no problem. Isn't that
That's
lovely?
A brilliant idea. That's kind of logical. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah. What's the funniest thing you ever did on holiday, or that happened to you on holiday?
I don't know whether you're familiar with the Garrahy girls. They're three. There's Dearon, there's Eamon, and there's Alva. But I mean, myself and Ger are very good friends with their parents. And we met them on their honeymoon in the Canary Islands. We went down and there was another couple that we knew were there, and I was going on to a show called A Hotline, and I had to change my holidays. So I wasn't we weren't being gooseberries on our friend's honeymoon. We just had to go at that particular time. So we were down in the Canaries, and we met Claire and Eugene, and we got on like a house on fire. But there was one morning, but again, it was like waking up with the posters that time. I woke up one morning and I had no money in my pocket. And I had tire tracks over my shoes that I'd been wearing.
Do you know what happened?
We were trying to work out what happened. No, I didn't have a broken toe or anything like that. But it was as if we thought
it's
maybe
like
the taxi driver. I either didn't have enough money to pay the taxi and your man drove over me, or else I gave him everything I had and he was so happy he wanted to just get away before I said, hang on a second, I think I'm giving you too much. But we had a great time with them down there. We were in, there was an Irish bar that we went into, and we were so kind of on a high. We were pointing at where they lived on the Irish flag and kind of, you know, cheering and, you know, dancing and singing. And it was fantastic. And it's a friendship that's lasted. We're still very, very good
friends.
Lovely. You know? Yeah, it's really good.
Which island was it on?
It was Gran Canaria. It was, what are the names of the places there in Gran Canaria?
Do you know that's the one island I haven't been to? I've been to the Gran Canaria.
Sam Stevenson did, which is down the road a bit. I think that's called Puerto Rico. I know it's not the real Puerto Rico, but I think it's called Puerto Rico. It's the one up the road from there. It's the one that everybody goes to.
Play the singles. Is that it?
That's it. Very good. Well done. You know,
haven't been there. Seen the brochures.
Yeah. But it's nice. We had a great time there. And I remember that at that time, I think it was 1985, because it was the year before we got married and they just got married. And I remember that it was the first time I experienced an international ATM machine. And they had just introduced them, like we had them in Ireland, but the idea of being away on holidays, where before you had to bring, you know, those travel vouchers, which are whatever they're called, you'd always have to bring cash. This was so, and it was actually a taxi ride away. It was about 15 minutes away. There was one Bank of Ireland ATM machine, and you had to. So we were all these Irish people were getting taxis down just to experience and pressing it and taking money out of the wall. It's just amazing. Like everything is, it would be so normal today.
Isn't it? Yeah. And where would you tell your 18-year-old self to go? Either, you know, somewhere that you've been.
I think, well, I mean, I think Japan. I love Japan. I've been there 3 times now, and I think it's a fantastic country, and I think the people are just lovely. And I didn't get there until I was 40. 41, I think, and I always was fascinated by it, and it completely lived up to it, every bit of it. Like, we went to Osaka, I went to Tokyo, we went to a place up in the mountains for kind of, it was a ski resort, I can't remember the name, but it began with an N. No, I was going to say Nairobi. No, it wasn't Nairobi. but it was just fantastic. I remember I was in a train station once, and I wanted to get back to Osaka from somewhere I was. And I asked some guy, I just said, excuse me, do you know which platform to go? And he said, yes, I do. And he walked with me. And I swear he walked about 15 minutes.
Oh, that's so nice.
He was a businessman. And he says, this is the platform here. And then I just watched him as he walked, and he was walking back to where he had come from. And it was unbelievable. And I remember we did a broadcast out there as well. There was this girl who was kind of looking out. She was interpreting for us. And one day we needed an extra table or something. We were broadcasting from there. So there was a studio. We needed a table. And I said to her, can you get us another table for just there? And she didn't answer. But she went out of the room, and then she came back in and said, yes, I can do that. You know, so they don't say yes, or, you know, they kind of check it all out before they commit to anything, which is great. And they also don't, the tipping thing down there is great. They won't accept a tip. Like, if you give a taxi driver a tip, he will run after you to give you back the money, because they don't want tips. This is the price, and this is the service. And so that kind of, you know, that thing about tipping, where sometimes you say, oh, are you supposed to tip this person or not tip this person? You know, so it's. It was great, but and I just thought the people, and it's a beautiful place. Have you been there?
Yeah, I haven't been to Japan. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't been. Yeah, no, definitely on the list, as they say.
On the list. Yeah.
and is there anywhere that you've got on your bucket list that, you know, is really high up on it that you haven't been to?
Yeah, I mean, like I love America, but I've never been to the. I'd love to go to kind of Memphis. You know, the whole Elvis Presley. I know it's all a bit, it's probably very, very tacky when you get there. But, you know, and I'd love to go to Nashville as well. I'm currently watching a very long kind of documentary series on PBS, the American channel. And it's all about country music, and it goes into great detail, but it just seems a fascinating place to go to. And so there's a plan. There's another couple that live around here, and we're both kind of reaching the same age, the four members of the group. And we have a kind of a plan to go there. Although America is kind of, it's not, I'm like, unfortunately with Donald, over the last few years, you're kind of saying, oh, do I really want to go off to America? But hopefully Joe Biden's going to sort it out.
Well, it is an amazing country. It's so vast. And I don't know what parts you've been to, but, you know, most of the Irish, they tend to hover around New York, maybe LA, and definitely Florida. And they're kind of the key places, aren't they? But I've traveled extensively through smaller states like Oklahoma and Kansas, gone up to Oregon and, you know, Kentucky and Alabama. And you know, each state is so unique. They're such a different flavor.
Different.
You could do what Steinbeck did, kind of do get one of those trucks and vans, camper vans, and go all around together. And that is a real way to see it, because there's so many national parks, and each national park is completely amazing and different to everywhere else.
And
what about Vegas?
It's a great place. It really is. You know, I mean, I have done New York and Los Angeles, Vegas, New Orleans. I remember being in Atlanta. I was coming back. It was a broadcast thing. I was coming back, and I had to. The hub was Atlanta for Delta Airways, I think it was. But I remember staying in a hotel there because the flight was delayed, and they said, "Okay, we'll put you up in this hotel." And it was one of those hotels that has the doors of your room outdoors. Do you know, like a motel?
I know, like a motel,
And you walk into it, and there's a sign on the bed. You normally would say, "Oh, have a lovely stay. We hope you'll be very comfortable." This one says, "Make sure you lock the doors."
Doors.
So you're saying, "Oh my god!" So So I woke up at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and my flight was about 9 o'clock that evening to go home. And I just had to get out of it, and I went straight to the airport. So I spent the whole day airside in the airport because I just wanted to get out of there. So I'm sure Atlanta is a lovely place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is so vast. It is as big as the entire all the countries of Europe. You know, similar population and that. So when you think of it that way, like, look how varied Portugal is to Spain.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and I know you love Portugal as well. We've spoken about Portugal before because, as you said, you had a place down there.
Yes, I did. And we just, I mean, we bought it when the kids were younger, and we had great times there. We knew a lot of people down there, Irish people and Portuguese people, and we had great nights in the villa, we loved it. But we decided, in the last few years that we kind of had enough of it, and the kids weren't really coming down anymore. So it was just myself and Jer, and it was like there was four bedrooms in it, and there was a swimming pool, and there was, you know, so we got rid of it. But we had a great time down there, and it was in Almansil, which is close enough to Quinta del Lago and Val de Lobo and Dunas Douradas, but far away enough as well, so that you could kind of decide when you wanted to be part of that kind of whatever, you know.
But that's the beauty of Portugal and the Algarve. There are so many little hidden nooks and crannies, little towns like Casella Vella, I'm sure you called into, or Praia Verde, you know, places with these spectacular beaches and quite empty. Like only the locals or the Spanish would go.
Yeah, and I'm following a lot of them on Instagram at the moment, and they keep popping up, and these amazing looking beaches and coves, and you're just saying, oh my God. And it's terrible with the pandemic, because you're kind of saying, I want to go there tomorrow or whatever, but you just can't, you know. And I mean, like, when this thing started in March, I was saying, well, we'll book something for maybe late June or whatever, and Jared was saying, nah, it's not going to happen. And I wonder even if it's going to happen this year, you know.
We don't know yet, do we? Because the virus seems to be very unpredictable, and it's up and down. But I do like looking at historical, patterns. And definitely it does seem to die down last summer. And if it would do the same this summer, it would be great for everybody, even to get, you know, a staycation or to feel safe enough to move around. The Irish hospitality industry has been amazing. They've done an incredible job of keeping their hotels and premises spotless. Yeah. Like even I went cruising on the Shannon, and the amount of cleanliness that went into cleaning the cabin.
And you would imagine, it was a bit like this morning we were talking about the hairdressers, and they were saying that the whole black market on the hairdressers is massive at the moment. And you'd imagine it would be more sensible to get the people who have actually put in the effort and put in the investment, like the hotels, like the hairdressers, you know, to actually let them open up. And that would cut back on people having house parties and, you know. It's...
Yeah, well, we're not running the country yet, Ian. We'll have to do something.
Sure. Yeah. I can't wait to see, the posters.
Michelle and Eno. Yay. Michelle and Eno's party.
Exactly.
Free trips to Portugal for everybody.
Exactly.
So who would your favourite travelling companion be? I mean, I'm sure it's Jer, but if you could travel with anybody dead or alive.
Well, it would be Jer, obviously. I mean, we've been to some great places together, and we were just starting to get into the swing of going again. You know, we were in San Francisco last February, so we just got in there just in time before it all kind of closed down again. And we had a fantastic time, and we got on really well together, and got to see all these places. She would be great. I mean, I have a great old buddy of mine who's no longer with us, Tony Fenton, and Tony would be, Tony's a great companion for socializing, knowing places, knowing people, always being on for a bit of crack. And so obviously I'd love to be able to travel around with him as well, but sure. In our dreams, you know?
In our dreams. And but San Francisco is an amazing city, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's great. Yeah. Really good. We went down to the, what's called Haight Ashbury place, where there's a record store down there that I had been always wanted to go and see. Very, very funky. You could see what it would have been like in the 60s and the Jimi Hendrix days and all that kind of stuff. And the only thing that struck me was the amount of homeless people. Like, I know we've a lot of problem in Ireland as well with that. But there, it's, and I suppose because the weather is being is much better, they don't, there's no crisis as such for them to actually get somewhere to
it's a roof
over their heads. Well, you know, they can sleep out. But
this time last year, I was coming back from LA, and I hadn't been in San Francisco. I mean, it's 6 years since I was in San Francisco, maybe more. And an Irish girl on the plane who has a business in San Francisco was telling me that the demographic are all people in their 40s who've been let go by these tech giants, big companies, people who kind of didn't have a house, who worked and had fabulous jobs in these companies. But you see, what people don't realize is you get your job with Google and everybody, and you know, they don't keep you or set you up with a pension.
They burn you out. They use you up and spit you out.
And that's why you have to look after the SMEs. Keep the SMEs going. We'll champion the SMEs, you know. But it's a pretty spectacular situation.
That can be on our manifesto.
Oh, that'll be in our party. Yeah, that'll be it. Did you go over to Alcatraz when you were in San Francisco?
Yes, we did, yeah. Fascinating, really great place. And again, I'm not great on the old boats, but that was a fairly solid one going across. It's all very Disneylandish in terms of queuing up and all that. But once you get there, it's great. And it's beautifully set up in terms of the headphones and the way you get everywhere you go, they tell you about what's going on. And, we took the usual cliched photographs of me behind bars, Jer behind bars, you know.
You have to do that.
You have to do it, yeah.
You know what struck me? The menu was really good. The food did that strike you as well?
They looked really, as if they were being well looked after.
For selfies then, you know, you will indulge and you will take the odd crazy selfie by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Last year or the year before, we were in Sorrento. I'd been there before working, but we decided to go down. And it was this, I always remember there was a row of hotels along the bay of Naples. And we organized, or we managed through a good friend of mine to get to stay in the Excelsior Hotel, which is literally on the square when you come out, and there's a big long walkway down to it. And we stayed in there and we got a very, very good deal. But anyway, the room we had, there was a little balcony off it. And so basically every single morning you walked through your double doors out onto this balcony, and you're just looking at Vesuvius and you're looking at the Bay of Naples.
Oh my goodness, it was just fantastic, stunning.
So that's a selfie paradise, basically, you know what I mean? And to wake up to that every day. Although, you know, it's not too bad out here in Holt sometimes when the light is right.
You're on the right side of the hill. You get that great view right across the bay. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
We're very lucky.
Yeah. Oh, no, Sorrento is beautiful, though. That whole Amalfi Coast is just something else.
Yeah.
And the food. Are you speaking of food? Is there any kind of crazy food that you've tasted while you've been on your travels?
The worst thing that I ate that I didn't realize I was eating was a sheep's brain.
Ooh.
And yeah, it was in France. We were on a skiing holiday in France years and years ago, and a friend of mine, he was a fluent French speaker, and he says, "I'll order this." And you could hear blah, 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 blah. And I did a little bit of French in school. So, but it was did it as a kind of a prank, basically. And he ordered starters for all of us, little sheep's brains. And they looked actually like, now, I don't know whether your podcast is rated, but they looked like testicles, to be honest with you. Tiny little things. But anyway, he said, they're beautiful, they're lovely. And I did eat them and they were okay. And then afterwards, he told us what they had just eaten. And it was awful. And we were in Venice a few years ago as well. And we were in a restaurant, which is one of the Cipriani ones, which is out on a little island. You have to get a little boat out to it. And one of the things that was presented to us was, again, it was one of these menus that just arrived out, was they were like little tiny crab, but they looked like they were still moving around on your plate, and you ate them. Now, they were delicious, and I didn't mind eating them, but I don't even know what they looked like. Now, maybe that was an illusion, but they looked like they were still moving around.
bit. I wouldn't be that adventurous, you know. They don't serve them in the Golden Elephant or the Thank God. So if you could be anywhere in the world right now, it's hard on a dark day, you know, in February, but where would you love to be?
Well, I mean, it's to go back to, I just have a great grow for the Portuguese thing in Portugal, and it would be Almancil, and it would be like, I still keep in touch with the guy who is our taxi driver, a guy called Hugo. And we still get in touch and send text messages, and I say, oh, missing you. I'd love to be down there now at the moment. And he's a great fella, and we've met his wife and his daughter and everything. And there's great restaurants, and we kind of know some of the restaurants there better than we'd know restaurants in Ireland. You know what I mean? So there's a great homeliness. And when you get off the plane, you know exactly where you're going. You know where the 24-hour shop is. You know where the milk is if you want to buy it. You know, so it's just a homeliness thing, and then a bit of heat. And then also just, I think, the idea of the wheels of an airplane lifting off the ground are going to be so good for people's brains. Absolutely. When it finally happens again.
People can't wait for that.
Exactly.
But in Portugal, you reminded me of the food in Portugal, and I love the sardines. And
oh,
I love
yes,
what they
beautiful.
Do with shrimp. Oh, and there's some amazing. Have you been down to Villa Real San Antonio? Some of the Where's restaurants that? There. That's just it's the last stop before you reach the Spanish coast on the Algarve. It's the last town. Get down there. Get down there next time you're down there. Yeah, because there's some really nice restaurants. It's quite a big town now. It would be probably the size of Dunleary. No, it wouldn't. It'd be more the size of Clontarf, I suppose, or Malahide. Yeah, but
I remember going down to Porto Mau, of all places, once, and we went down to these guys who were doing the sardines on the side of the street, basically, and like it looked so primitive, but they were absolutely delicious. Like, I mean, it's just incredible food altogether.
It's
beautiful, you know. So that's if I could be anywhere right now, if I could be beamed up, I would be beamed up
and lifted out. Well, please God, now you know we do get the handle on this, and we'll be able to travel. And I do see travel within the EU being flexible as soon as possible, you know.
I'm sure they're all fighting for it, but I mean the one thing to bear in mind for everybody is that it's not just happening to you personally, it's not just happening
that's
to
it.
Us in Ireland, it's happening to everywhere, you know.
So, well, what hotel facilities would you use the most, if anyway, you know, if you're on a hotel, what would you like?
I'm ashamed to say it, you know what I'm going to say here, don't you? The bar. No, I was thinking about this. I'm not a gym bunny, and you know, I don't really swim very much. We might use the outdoor swimming pool a little bit, just for a bit of an L dunk. But you know, I love the idea of a good hotel bar, and getting to know the barman and him knowing you and what you like and that kind of stuff, you know. And
will you order? Will you try different drinks? Would you be
I'd be very, very adventurous in that area. All right. I mean, like, I don't know whether you would regard that as a facility or not, but
it certainly is. So I do as well. I do, and I do love, you know, and this is the thing about, I don't know, have you been on cruises at all?
No,
you know,
I haven't.
They really indulge in the old, you know, exotic drinks and that. Or if you end up somewhere like the Caribbean, they'll do things with rum there that you just didn't think were possible, and they'll mix all sorts of things together.
Yeah, you know,
I'd be like you, Ian. I love that, going into a bar and you don't know what you're going to do next and try, you know, whatever.
But you know, there's nothing better than, like, say we were in Rome there for a while, for a week, and the idea of going out and you walk all day and you have a look at all these museums and all this artwork and historic buildings, and then coming in, I love the idea of coming back in and say, let's have a drink. And you know, you're kind of talking about the day, and you know, it's a recap on what's gone on. I think that's a very civilized way of going about your business.
Absolutely. And you know, it's another dimension of travel, talking to the waiters and the bartenders, and they'll tell you about their families and their stories, and you probably end up being friends with them as well. I'm sure you're friends with some.
Oh yeah, I've got a good few friends in low places.
brilliant. We haven't really talked much about Ireland. Where would be your favourite place to travel to in Ireland?
Well, we had, during the kind of break in the lockdown recently, myself and Ger went off, and we decided to go and not really book not, you know, like we started off in Fota Resort in Cork, and we said, well, okay, we won't really book anywhere else until we're in Fota. So we went there, and then we booked the Killarney Royal Hotel, I think it is, in the centre of Killarney. And it's owned by the same people who run Hayfield Manor in Cork, which I like a lot. So we stayed in Fota for two nights. Then we went up to Killarney. We said that, and then we decided to go on and go to, you know, the one that was, it used to be the Radisson. It's now called, I think it's called the Galmont Hotel in the centre of Cork, right beside, near Air Square, beside the train station.
Oh, in Galway, Galmont.
So we stayed there. And we went around the corner from there, just around to Loam, which apparently is a Michelin star restaurant. Very nice. A lovely meal there. And we stayed there for two. And then I had a week and a bit off. So we were going to go somewhere else. But we just decided to come home. We'd had enough. But we had a great time, though. It was really good. But my favorite place in is County Clare is Doolin. And that goes back to the Garrahy's. And you know, like, I mean, we've been down there. We've had so many great times down there. I know Pat. There's a bar woman I know very well, Patsy McDermott, down in McDermott's pub in Doolin, and we'd always stop over there. And and it's a magical place. It really is. And I'd say they are devastated at the moment because of the amount of tourists they get from all over the world. And I mean, the fact that you can go into one of the pubs down there and some guy will start playing, you know, a tin whistle or something, and then somebody else will start playing something else, and you know, and suddenly a session starts, really good and great musicians, you know, and the concertina is out, and you know,
and absolutely, and it's part of our culture. Our culture is the shebeens and the little pubs, and that is, you know, what makes us Irish, and that's where the storytellers are and the musicians, and people start dancing. They're great for dancing Clare, aren't they?
That's why people want to come from all over the world as well. So it would be a terrible shame if that dies off. And hopefully it doesn't. Get back on track, you know?
No, I think it's important to nurture. It's part of our culture. We have to keep our culture going, you know? We can't be... we're not robots, you know? Exactly. I totally agree with you. So what was your... Have you a worst travel experience or, you know, something strange that happened to you?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because when we went on our honeymoon, I think I mentioned, when I fixed the intercom on the plane on the way across.
That was some good going, that was.
So we had two kind of a centre thing in France. First of all, we went to Paris and we actually met up with another couple who had just got married about a week before we had. And we had an amazing time and we were in all kinds of restaurants. And there was one place called Florian Restaurant, I think it was called. And we were there for the whole day. I still have the bill, and the bill, there must be about 14 bottles of wine on it. But there were these kind of bench seats. And at one stage, we looked to the side, and there was an old lady and an old man sitting there. About 3 hours later, there was a young couple sitting there. So they kept changing all the people. And at one stage, when I turned to the left, there was a woman with her dog sitting there.
He really took up residence in the place.
Yeah, exactly. But that was great. That was Paris, and that worked really well. But then myself and Jerry on our own went down to Cannes. And I had been to Cannes before, and a lovely place. But you know the way they talk about the wrong side of the tracks? The hotel we had booked was on the wrong side of the tracks. And it was just, it wasn't great. It was... you know, when you can tell a bad hotel when you come into the room and there's carpets on the floor, but the carpets continue on up the side of the wall, the way up the side. So it was kind of like a carpeted room. It was almost like it was in case they were worried you were going to bang your head off the wall or something. And it was very, very hot down there. And they actually had the guys coming out spraying the land because things were going on fire. There were forest fires and everything down there. So even in the center of Cannes, which is beautiful, there was kind of little kind of residue coming out of the air from all the fires. And so it wasn't great, but
absolutely. we've all had one of those disastrous holidays. Now I asked you today, do you have a favorite travel memento or something you bought somewhere? And Do you have something?
Well, we had our villa down in Portugal, and when we were leaving, we kind of bought an extra few suitcases, and we filled it up with bits and pieces, like, you know, paintings and things like that that we had either bought or were there when we bought it. But one of the things Jared bought me were, I'm fascinated by, you know, these monkeys, the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And we've got a few of them knocking around. But she bought these, they're kind of aluminium frogs, and we used to have them on the fireplace in the villa, and we said, oh, there's no, we have to take those with us as well. So the three little frogs are now transported, and they're now living happily in Sutton, getting on very well, and hopefully we can still hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil, because that's it, you know. But I mean, we brought a few, I've brought a few candlesticks, brought a few tools that I had bought. I used to love going down to the DIY stores, you know, when you kind of, when you own a place down there, you feel you're entitled to be going into DIY stores and buying tubes and tools and things like that, you know. So I brought some of that back as well. But the three frogs are, they're very special, you know.
Oh, they sound lovely. I'd love to see those now. Is there any other travel adventure or story that you haven't told me?
The only other travel thing that I've been doing regularly for the last 21 years is going skiing. But no, I'm not even any good at skiing, but on the Top Flight Today FM ski trip with Tony Collins. And we've had to stop it for this year because, you know, it's a bit mad. It's a bit kind of Ibiza, you know what I mean, in the snow in a way. So it would be completely inappropriate for what you would see that goes on in a, you know, like it's all good fun and all that, but at the same time people are very close to each other, it's very sweaty, it's very, you know, there's a lot of staying up late at night, sitting on each other's knees, all that kind of stuff, you know. So from that point of view,
well, next year, please God, that'll
well
be back.
Yeah, well, that's it. But I really just hope, I've got this awful fear in my head that people are going to, their instincts are going to change a little bit, and they're not going to be quite as into that kind of thing. Now, hopefully I'm totally wrong.
It could, you know, go one way, or it could actually go the other way. We could have like the swinging 1920s. It could go the other way.
There you go. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, to hell with this.
I kind of like the sound of that.
Come on.
I like the sound of that one. And what are you up to at the moment? I know you do stuff with Mario, and you know, what's Ian doing?
I mean, we're all doing kind of practically nothing. I mean, I'm doing my, thankfully I'm still doing my breakfast show in the morning on Today FM, and I was doing it here where I'm actually sitting right now, thus the microphone.
Right, swanky microphone.
Yeah, that's not the one I'm speaking into at the moment. This is the one I'm speaking into. So I was doing it from here, and I've got the option to do it from here if I want to. But at the moment, I'm actually going in there every day. And it's very well organized. There's very few members of staff. Like, we're talking to people on Zoom and all that, in terms of team members. So that's all I'm doing. I mean, and, you know, I've said to myself, oh, yeah, I must write a book. Oh, yeah, I must write a play. Oh, yeah, I must do this. I must make a podcast. I must do, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I haven't done any of that. I think a lot of people are kind of saying, yep, now this lockdown, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. But done absolutely nothing. But anyway, I'm not feeling guilty about it. And I don't think anybody should. I think, you know, we're all just, this is all affecting everybody. You're not going mad. You might feel like you're going mad, but you're not. You're okay.
yeah, absolutely. No, I think we have to be kind to ourselves and each other. Yeah. And as we gradually get back to normality, whatever that's going to be, you know, we have to stay positive, and we have to remember the good things and the nice things. And that I think that's what I'm trying to do here with this podcast, is to keep people remembering good times and nice things. And so when we take over the world then, Ian, with our new party, everything will change. But yes, well, listen, thanks so much for taking
the time.
Thank you
very
out.
Much. It's very enjoyable, actually, yeah.
It's lovely talking about travel, isn't it? I mean, it kind of feeds the creative juices and the memories and maybe gives you inspiration.
Paints a few pictures for people and brings back memories for people and all that as well, yeah.
Yeah, it might
get them kind of booking holidays. I mean, we booked a week in May in Doolin, actually, and we're just hoping for the best that we're going to be allowed to do that. And then once the international travel restrictions, I'd be first on the phone. And I mean, I'd even take a chance on it. If you lose a deposit, so what? You know what I mean? You know, and I just hope that everybody gets out and does the, you know, supports their restaurants and supports the
SMEs.
They're devastated as well, you know.
Absolutely. That's what we've got to do. Well, thanks, Ian.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to your next book.
It'll be down to Jer soon. I definitely owe you a wine in the Yacht Club or a cocktail, exotic. Now I know you'll have something exotic.
Very good. A bit of rum.
Something with rum. That'd be a good call. Thanks,
Ian. A million.
Cheers. Bye.
Well, what a great guy. I really enjoyed that chat. And I can relate to his love of Portugal. It's definitely one of my favourite countries too. Do listen in to his breakfast show every morning. It'll certainly give you a lift and helps get your day off to a good start. My next guest is Catherine Murphy, who is undoubtedly the authority when it comes to ski knowledge in Ireland. She has been on more pistes than any other woman I know. And she has such a breadth of knowledge, this snippet of her wisdom will rekindle the dreams and aspirations of any hopeful or accomplished skier.
Well, hi, Catherine. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? Beautiful February weather in Dublin, but missing the Alps big time.
Oh, I'd say so. I'd say so. You'd normally be all over the continent this time of year.
I would.
Can you tell me what's happening in Europe this season, or is anything happening?
Well, a little bit. There's a little bit happening. Switzerland, the ski lifts are running, but it's pretty much a write-off for Irish skiers this season. The lifts in Italy are staying closed. Lifts in Austria are staying closed to international visitors. And France is the same. So we're kind of leapfrogging. We're looking ahead to next winter, 21-22 now. Tour operators like Top Flight and Crystal have had their programs for next winter on sale for ages. So, and sales are pretty good from what I hear. So look ahead to next winter. There might be a couple of issues with next winter in terms of capacity, availability and price. We might see some price increases, maybe 10% or a little bit more. So make sure you start looking early and shopping around for good offers.
That's really good advice. And which countries or resorts would you recommend for someone who's listening who perhaps hasn't skied before, someone who's a beginner?
So I learned to ski many years ago, Michelle. You don't want to know how many years ago in Bulgaria. I would still recommend Bulgaria. It's your first ski trip or snowboarding trip. You don't know whether you're going to like the sport. You don't want to break the bank. So in countries like Bulgaria, Slovenia, you're going to find everything is cheaper on the ground, from your lift pass, your ski hire, to your classes, to your accommodation and your food and your couple of beers in the evening, of course. Countries then, yeah, of course, big part of a ski holiday. Austria and Italy are generally, depending on the resorts you go to, they're generally a bit cheaper as well than, say, France and Switzerland. But you will find some areas in France, Val Salise or the French Pyrenees, they're going to be 30% cheaper than the big name resorts. And the Swiss resorts have been trying to offer more value for money in the last couple of years, you know, putting together more attractive packages, but generally a bit more expensive. So, yeah, try to pick and also pick smaller resorts. You don't need to be in a massive 600 kilometer ski area on your first ski trip. You're not going to use all those slopes. So a small, compact resort. And the other thing is a lot of French and Swiss resorts will offer, you know, you might think places like Val Thorens in the Three Valleys of France or Val d'Isère are very expensive. But you will find they have a number of nursery slopes in the village or up on the mountain that are free to use for beginners for their first few days. You don't need to buy a lift pass. That helps. Every little helps.
Yeah, absolutely. But my first ski trip was to Andorra. And that was actually a good place to start.
That's popular for beginners. That's another fantastic. I think I mentioned to you before, I stood one day and watched the ski instruction in Soldeu in Andorra. And just fantastic. A lot of English speaking instructors, they're just so passionate about their work and really good instruction. And they made it fun. I was skiing with a group of adults and they literally idolized the ski instructor they talked about the whole time. So they were people in their 30s.
Some of them are pretty easy on the eye, all right.
Oh, no, I don't know about that, Michelle. I don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, your skiing is a sport, but it's a ski holiday. And the whole idea is to have lots of fun. It's one of the, you know, the most fun holidays you can have. And that's the idea.
Being out in the fresh air, the mountain air, and the views are spectacular. It's like being in a living snow globe or in a postcard, isn't it?
I never thought about the snow globe before.
And what resorts then would you say would be really good for families Or but maybe say you've got a member of the family who doesn't want to ski. Where offers good variety?
Well, one thing I love doing is picking a resort. Well, this is kind of taking you out of the ski resort. I love picking resorts that have train stations. So, for example, St. Anton in Austria, if you've got really good skiers in the family or in your group of friends, hop on the train to Innsbruck for a day. Or Bad Gastein, Bad Hofgastein in the Gastein Valley. Again, Salzburgerland in Austria, you can hop on the train into Salzburg.
And I have to say, we went on a fantastic trip to Bad Hofgastein. And when you hear the word bad, it doesn't mean it's bad. Sure, it doesn't. It actually means it's really good.
Yeah, well, it means as you were, you have the thermal baths, you have these fabulous wellness centres and spas in Bad Hofgastein and Bad Gastein. And it's just amazing. Well,
so look out for the word bad. It actually is really good.
Because Bad Hofgastein, you've got an incredible network. You have hotels like the Norica, and I think at least three or four other hotels, and they're linked by corridor to the Alpentherm. There's this massive spa, outdoor swimming pools, outdoor wooden sauna huts, just gorgeous. So you don't actually have to leave your hotel to go to the spa. You just put on your dress again and you wander down these maze of corridors and you're in the spas. So they take their spas really seriously and they're really excellent.
We were there together in Bad Hofgastein, and I was it was fantastic because and actually you've written a fantastic guest post on my website, thenoveltraveler.com. So I really recommend any listeners check that out, because sum up the whole experience of the spa and, you know, the benefits of it when you're skiing.
Yeah, we looked at the Gastein Valley, didn't we, in that article, and Kirkburg, another very popular resort.
And that was where you introduced me to rum in hot chocolate.
I can't believe I ever did that, Michelle.
I haven't recovered from it yet. I'm still doing it.
I like my rum with Coke, and my favourite drink tipple on a ski holiday is a good white wine, either a good Austrian white wine or a good Swiss white wine like Fondant. But anyway, getting back to the non-skiing, which is very important. Andorra is another great place for non-ski because you can hop on a bus. If you're staying in Arenzal or Soldeu, hop on the bus into Andorra La Vella, the capital. There's a fantastic spa there as well, a wellness centre and lots of swimming pools, all that stuff called Caldea. So you can have your morning Caldea, go and have a lovely tapas lunch, then go and do your duty-free shopping, which, of course, Andorra is famous for. It's become much more sophisticated in the last 5 years. They've pedestrianised the shopping streets and all that kind of stuff. So then going back to resorts, not if you're staying in a resort and don't want to leave, there's so many things you can do that don't involve putting skis on your feet. You can go fat e-biking on the slopes.
Oh, my God.
They're basically
e-bikes.
they're e-bikes, but they've got fat tires to give you traction on the snow. And you can do it in places like resorts like Avoriaz in the Port de Soleil in France. So you're on dedicated slopes. You're not kind of competing with skiers for space on the slope. And that's a great fun thing to do. If you're, say, in mid-mountain ski resort family area like Le Grand Bornand in France, it's half an hour from Lake Annecy. You can go down to Annecy and go winter kayaking on the lake, which I think I'd love to try. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. But even just to go walking the winter trails, most resorts now have kilometres and kilometres of winter trails on a snowy, sunny day in February or March. Absolutely gorgeous thing to do. And of course, snowshoeing. Michelle, you've tried snowshoeing. I know you have.
I have. I just about got up on them. I had a heavy night of après-ski the night before. And I think I ditched out when I found a fabulous little chalet. Because that's something people don't realise. There are these gorgeous little kind of stop-offs where you can go for your hot chocolates or your do lunches and then, you know.
You're cozy
early on your après-ski.
Absolutely. I mean, anything after 11 is okay. Like in Italy, it would be totally fine, totally respectable to stop at 11 a.m. at a mountain hut and have a Bombardino, which is brandy and cream. It's very luscious. They're absolutely gorgeous. That doesn't really count as an alcoholic drink.
Oh, delicious. Oh, Catherine, I want to be there. This all sounds gorgeous. And what about the sleigh rides? We have to mention the sleigh rides because Bad Hofgastein have lovely sleigh rides too, don't they? With horses, they're like the Budweiser horses. You hear their bells and you'll chinkle off into the glistening dark snow. Snowy landscape.
Anytime I've done a sleigh ride, I've done lots of them. It's usually in the evening time after skiing or not skiing, and it's to take you to dinner in a mountain hut, really. To have your good hearty mountain fare. And I suppose people might think sleigh ride, that's kind of romantic for couples. it's a great thing for families to do. We've done it in a group of friends and had a great laugh. And it's just a very nice thing to do.
And what about the most beautiful resort then? You know, for real spectacular.
I always say, any resort that's had fresh snowfall is beautiful because good, you know, fresh snow transforms every ski area. But, you know, I love all ski resorts, but the most beautiful ones for me are, you know, the Jungfrau region in Switzerland, Wengen or Murren, the little mountaintop village of Murren. It's actually a very beautiful, special place. So you're skiing beneath, or if you're not skiing, you're just gazing at the Eiger, the imposing Eiger mountain. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. They've got this old cog railway line that takes you up through the mountains. So during the course of your ski day, you might be, it's very, very special. And then you can take the train up to the top of the world, they call it, the top of Jungfrau, which is kind of marketed as the top of the world. And again, that's a beautiful thing to do. But in Italy, the Dolomites, I know we've talked about the Dolomites before, they're absolutely just, you know, stunningly. Every time I go back there, I seem to be more impressed. They're just absolutely beautiful. So resorts like Val Gardena and, you know, intermediate skiers can go and do the ski circuit, the Celeronda ski circuit, and you just get to, you're skiing around all these little villages in the course of a day and just looking up the Dolomites. Beautiful. Val d'Isère, Verbier has beautiful views from the top of the highest cable car, 3,300 metres. Just looking out at all these ranges, including Mont Blanc. Anywhere that you can see Mont Blanc for as good as Chamonix, Mont Blanc is right in front of your face. It's absolutely gorgeous. But I suppose they would be my most beautiful. I'd be killed for not including some of the others.
Well, you're such an expert and you've been to so many resorts. It's really hard for you to choose because you have such a wealth of knowledge of the entire.
Well, a little bit of knowledge.
No, you certainly have. You're undoubtedly the expert in this country. And is there any place then that you'll be returning to?
Once we're able to ski again. I suppose there's three or four places on top of my list. Verbier, which I've already mentioned, in Switzerland. That's because I want to do a ski touring refresher course. I don't know whether you're familiar with ski touring. So it's hiking up the slopes with skins on the base of your skis. So obviously you don't want to slide back down the mountain. It's very important not to do that. So you're basically climbing, you're ascending the mountain to get to powder. So you're skiing powder down the other side. And you're in the backcountry, you're off-piste, you're away from the lifts, it's becoming more and more popular, and there's a lot of talk about it this winter because of this whole thing of lifts either not being open or wanting to stay away from crowded slopes and lifts. It's something you've got to be a decent skier to do, and you've got to have a knowledge and understanding of safety in the mountains. That's the most important thing. But anyway, so that's why I want to go back to Verbier and do a ski touring refresher course with the Warren Smith Ski Academy. They do courses over there. I also, one of my friends had to postpone a big birthday this month, actually, Michelle, and she and her husband spend the winters in La Tuile in Italy. So that's next on the list. We have to get out and celebrate her birthday next winter.
I'd love to go skiing in Italy. I really would. Because I love Italian food. It's probably my favorite. And you do need your food because you're hungry when you come off the piste, aren't you?
Absolutely. Great excuse to stuff your face. And just Italy, you know, the Italian resorts have this much more. They're into the kind of slow living vibe and a very relaxed vibe to skiing. The Italians, you know, there's some amazing Italian skiers, but it is a stereotype to say the Italians love to the fine weather skiing, you know, the fair weather skiing. And they love to have their beautiful, I mean, there's a fabulous restaurant in the Dolomites near up above Val Gardena, I think, the Comici Ski Restaurant. They do a seafood antipasti. It's just this huge platter of beautiful, fresh seafood because the restaurant is owned by a guy who has a place in Venice, and they bring the seafood up every day or every couple of days. So you can't question the quality. It's absolutely stunning. And the quality of food. But the quality of food in resorts throughout Europe is just excellent these days. So if you're a non-skier, that's another thing you can do. Just enjoy the food and the great wines, you know.
I want to go back there. As you well know, I have deteriorated with every ski trip. Maybe it's because I spend too much time in the bar, but I've definitely enjoyed every one of them. And I would go up and down those lifts all day. It's just magical being in that beautiful, crisp scenery, and the air is so fresh. Great holiday. Catherine, thank you so much.
Are we out of time already?
We're out of time, because For the time of year that's in it, thank you so much for giving us an outlook so we can look forward to it, hopefully next year.
Thanks, Michelle. See you. Get you back on those snowshoes next winter.
Oh, you will. You know, you never know. You might get me down to a red slope sometime or something. You never know.
Okay. As they say, ciao. Ciao for now. Bye.
Ciao for now.
Well, that chat certainly brought me back to the slopes of Austria and a couple of other places too. For me, skiing is about the atmosphere and the good clean air and the health and vitality that you feel when you're out in the mountains. It really is good for the soul and for the mind, and I can see why it's popular for so many. So that's all for this week. Next week, I'll be chatting to the literary editor of the Sunday Independent, Madeleine Keane, who is also an award-winning travel writer. She's been teaching travel writing also in UCD, so there's a chance for people who'd like to perhaps find out more, get in touch with her. She has some wonderful tales of her times in Africa to tantalise your taste buds. And I'll also be chatting this Monday on News Talk with Mr. Pat Kenny about my new book, Journey to the Heartland. So do tune in if you'd like to hear more about that. And until next week, as Catherine says, ciao for now. And I'll leave you in the capable hands of Pat Coldrick and Oreo Sunrise.